was a bloody Sunday for wheels of Z99. In our NFL Pick'em League, he went 0-for. 0-for-4!
I'm going to keep quiet because I was an 0-for last week. So
that was last week. Belton also went 0-for-4, as did Sherry.
We didn't see. Wheels is pretty quick when something, like when your team loses.
Well, last week when you went 0-for, he was in the office.
Yeah.
He was waiting for us outside our office on Monday.
Anybody see him today? Like,
I didn't.
He's pretty quiet.
As usual. As per usual.
That tracks.
Well, we see you, Wheels, with a 0-for mark on your NFL picks. That might come up, actually, as we go through our Sunday school.
Brothers and sisters, from the A's of the Aaron to the F's of that Jared DeGoff, the passes and the failures, oh, the failures! Brothers and sisters, the good and the wretched and the touchdowns, this is Jamie and Locke's Sunday School.
Each and every Monday, sometimes Tuesday, we give you our grades for NFL on the Sundays. Our top grades, our failing grades, who stood out and who was the worst that performed on a busy NFL Sunday schedule.
Normally, we would start with your failing grade, Jamie,
I'm going to wait on my failing grade. So, Locker, why don't you lead the way
with
your failing grade?
I don't mind being first. The failing grade goes to Steelers fans. Tomlin has been a head coach in the NFL for 19 years. It's unheard of in professional sports and at least football. Not just football, all of them. Okay. On top of that, he's never had a losing season. That is actually kind of remarkable. If anything, Steeler fans should be shocked he has this team playing 500 ball with Aaron Rodgers, who's 208, and Mason Rudolph as his top two quarterbacks. So shame on you, Steeler fans. Mike Tomlin, you can't boo Tomlin. What are you doing?
What are you going to get? You're going to get a coach who's... Like Mike Tomlin will be the minute they fire Mike Tomlin, he'll be hired the next day by somebody.
Exactly. Yes.
Easily. We're going to head over to our top grades because I'm going to wrap up with my failing grade. My top grade goes to Nick Folk. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
From the right hash, from 56 yards out, his career long is 58. And Folk's kick is good. He's a Folk hero at MetLife Stadium. A game-winning 56-yard field goal for the New York Jets.
I've sucked at NFL picks this year. I know we were giving it to Wheels, but I've sucked. I have not been good. But I was the only one to pick the New York Jets to beat the Atlanta Falcons. Way to go, Jets, for not letting me down, because my Raiders let me down every damn Sunday. They might be the pallbearers at my funeral. They let me down so many times, those Raiders. But the Jets got me a win in the NFL Pick'em League and helped Wheels go 0-for this week as well. That's a good day. Shout out to Locker. He was the only one to pick the Packers on Thursday. Shout out to Shauna Foster. She was the only one to pick the Texans over the Colts, but the Jets got me a big win.
I almost went with the Texans, too, and I was like,
The
Colts are so close.
But we didn't.
Yeah.
Let's get to your top grade, Locker.
Hold on. I'd like to point out, too, that this is the first time in our Green Zone NFL celebrity pick'em pool for the 2025 season that you have not been dead last.
Jumped out of the basement.
You have been bringing up the rear all season
long.
Look out.
The Max Verstappen-esque comeback is coming up here on the Green Zone Pick'em League.
Yeah, Sherry's got 24 right, and you got 25 right. You're still playing below 500, though.
No, yeah, I've been just terrible.
All right.
Your top grade, Locker?
My top grade, we're going to focus on the Bills game. I'm going to go with James Cook and Josh Allen.
Allen. Being pushed, and he's driven across. for the touchdown. And for the 49th time in his career, he has a game in which he's thrown for a score and run for a score.
Was that Allen? That was Josh Allen breaking Cam Newton's all-time QB rushing touchdown record, which he now set at 76. Allen ran in and threw for a touchdown, 26-7, in case you missed it. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got to Aaron Rodgers nicely, too. He's taking a day. He's taking a breather
today. The best
today.
Meme I saw, I posted in our group chat, the best meme I saw all weekend was him on the sideline with the toque on. He had the bandage over the nose, and it looks like Aaron Rodgers just looks like he just tried to rob Kevin McAllister's house.
I think they broke his nose in that game. Honorable mention, I want to mention this too, because James Cook has had a great year this year. He showed up to play on Sunday, 32 carries, 144 yards. My Bills still hanging on to a wild card possibility in the NFL this season.
So I'm going to play this clip again because this is my failing grade, all right? Let's play that audio again, shall we?
Allen. Being pushed, and he's driven across for the touchdown. And for the 49th time in his career, he has a game in which he's thrown for a score and run for a score.
Jim Nance, you blew the call. He blew it. Listen.
And for the 49th time in his
career. Who gives a rat's behind about the 49th? He broke an NFL record with that play.
The problem is,
there's no problem. Wow. Don't try to apologize for Jim Nance.
No.
Don't start Locker.
Josh Allen breaks a record every week. You're not going to keep track of them all.
Come on. You got to have better prep than that. It's got to be down. He had one more rushing touchdown, breaks Cam Newton's all-time record for quarterback runs. That's the call, Jim. I'm thinking, well, surely we got the call of the record. Oh, 48th pass and run touchdown. And then as they're celebrating, oh, and that also puts Josh Allen past Cam Newton for an NFL record. It's like, come on, that's the call. Touchdown, Josh Allen, now number one in quarterback rushing touchdowns passing Cam Newton. Not 48 random TD passes rushing games for... I thought Jim Nance blew that call for an NFL record for Josh Allen.
You know what that call reminded me of? You know those videos with the Gophers?
Ellen,
what?
Ellen.
The video, they're like a YouTube thing. You haven't seen those videos?
How does this relate to Jim Nance?
Play it again.
Oh, Allen.
Allen.
At the start.
Scotty knows what I'm talking about.
Now I do, now that you're at the start at the Allen thing. Now I'm caught up. I was like, where are you going? Now I got you.
Common occurrence on this program. Oh, by the way, Wheels is listening. He's apparently barely only went 0-4.
He barely went 0-4. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to go to Mel in Swan River.
Mel.
And you want to defend Steeler fans on their chant to fire Mike Tomlin.
Absolutely, guys. I think that should have happened probably about 4 years ago. You know, if this guy was his coach for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he wouldn't be there. I'm a Rider fan as well. But the problem with Tomlin is, yeah, I know he goes to the playoff every year, but it's one and out. We never get a good draft pick. That's the problem with mediocrity.
So you want him fired because he doesn't lose enough.
Fired. I want Tomlin fired, and I guarantee that's going to happen. He tied the can to Aaron Rodgers, who I thought was a real bad choice to begin with. So he's tied the can to them. From what I'm reading, he controls everything on that team. Like the offensive coordinator, he's telling the offensive coordinator Smith what to do.
Do you think, Jamie, Mel, sorry to jump in here. Do you think that was the Aaron Rodgers was his call?
Absolutely it was.
You do? I thought that was a man, like an owner, like let's sell some jerseys.
Mm. And we go back to Tomlin's, you know, winning seasons. And once again, all that does is screw the Steelers on the draft.
Well, it's true. They're always in the middle. They're always picking like 15th, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they can't get up to pick a decent quarterback, right? Because and we haven't had a decent quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger left. So it's like And they can't get a draft pick unless, I guess, they want to trade the house. But, I mean, really, they don't have much to trade. I mean, their defense is the worst I've ever seen it look this year. It's awful. Like,
can I ask you a question about like, what's the fascination with Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph?
Yeah. Like, is he good? Like, he can't. He is not. They can't make him a starter.
No. Nobody's going to make Mason Rudolph a starter.
Is he still kicking around, Mel?
Well, Mel's against you. He doesn't. He thinks it's a top grade for the Steelers fans to be chanting Tomlin sucks. But Aaron Rodgers again, Mel. Tie your can to Aaron Rodgers, and guess what's going to happen?
And six.
Talk to Robert Saleh with the New York Jets. How that's going to go for you? 1-877-332-8255. What do you got? Top grades, failing grades from a busy NFL Sunday. Your grades next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
The most listened to sports show.
Tamian Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon as Monday Night Football has the Patriots against the Giants. But as we look at the NFL after this weekend, we live in a world, Locker, where the New England Patriots are the best team in the AFC.
I know.
With a new coach there and Drake May running the show. And in the NFC, the top seed now with a 5-game win, the Chicago Bears are the number one seed after the Rams dropped one to the Panthers. And wait, the Carolina Panthers are near the top of the NFC South? What's going on in the National Football League this year? It has been very... The Jaguars are leading the AFC South.
Baltimore slipped a bit this year.
The Chiefs.
Buffalo has slipped a bit this year.
This has been a fun NFL season.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it because as much as where do you stand with franchises that just continue to win? Like,
I believe there are places, and you need those teams like the Chiefs that have
do
the target.
You?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you though?
Yes. I believe sports needs those types of teams that everybody guns for, has the bullseye, and when they fail, like the Chiefs have this year,
oh, it's glorious.
Fans are, yeah, exactly. But when they're good, everybody knows who they are. There's star power in a well-known team, like the Kansas City Chiefs. But you also need the Bears. You need teams like the Bears to surprise and come up and have a top pick in Caleb Williams and a new coach in Ben Johnson that has some people excited, because the Bears are kind of like what the Lions were, a team that for years people went, when are they ever going to get it together? And it looked like the last 2 years, Dan Campbell had that team rolling. Now they're still 7-5, very much in playoff contention, but the Bears are on a 5-game win streak, although their defense is not that great.
Bears have a better road record than home record.
Well, they're 4-1 at home. 5-2 on the road, more wins away from home. They have a big packed home schedule the rest of the way. Do the Chicago Bears?
But did you do that on purpose? Because they're playing Packers on Sunday.
They are playing the Packers
in Green Bay.
Huge.
That's massive.
Huge game.
Because you got 9-3 Bears. You got 8-3 Packers
with the tie. 8-3.
Oh, that's going to be one of our games, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's going to be one of our games.
Oh, no.
Start thinking about your picks now for the Bears and the Packers. But it's been an interesting.
Who's the favorite in that? Chicago? Chicago the favorite going into Green Bay?
No.
What's the money line?
I would imagine the Packers are the favorite for that one.
What?
For next week. Yes.
Straight up favorites, maybe.
Hold on. I'll find it here real quick. Oh, yeah. They're like a touchdown favorite right now.
Green Bay?
Yeah. At home at Lambeau?
That's interesting.
I still think the Packers are, if you're picking one of those teams, who's more likely to be in the Super Bowl, I'm picking the Green Bay Packers over the Chicago Bears. Absolutely. I am. And it's all right. Largely
we
to
heard
do.
From Steeler fans upset at me. Bear fans now, you
their
can
start
calling.
Their defense is so much better. Their defense is so much better. Like, they're 9-3, the Bears, with a point differential of +6. The Packers are 8-3-1 with a point differential of 68. Like, the Packers are a better football team.
You're
Jamie and Locker with you here at the Green Zone on this chilly Monday. Coming up, Belton Johnson at 5:05. He joins us every Monday. We talk CFL. We talk NFL. But today, I'm anticipating Belton Johnson will want to talk about the biggest story in football. And it has nothing to do with the Canadian Football League or the National Football League. It has everything to do with his alma mater, the Ole Miss Rebels. The University of Mississippi have been in the headlines for the last few weeks with speculation that their head coach, Lane Kiffin, in the middle of the season was going to either commit and reach Maine at Ole Miss, but Florida and LSU were also calling. And over the weekend, after a big win in the Egg Bowl, the rivalry game with Mississippi State, of course, the athletic director of the University of Mississippi wanted an answer. And he got his answer. Lane Kiffin is heading to LSU, Louisiana State University. And on Saturday night, met with the chancellor of Mississippi and the athletic director and tried to plead his case. He still wanted to coach the team because Ole Miss has made the playoffs in college football. And they went, you want to coach our team, you can stay here and coach our team as our head coach. But if you're going to LSU, there's the door. So he took that door and he went to the airport. And as fans had already found out that he was leaving, they showed up at the airport too. It's a big crowd. It was a big crowd at Oxford Airport where LSU sent a private jet to pick up Lane Kiffin, their new head coach. And Lane Kiffin then did an interview when he landed in Baton Rouge.
You know, that this was a very challenging, difficult day. You know, we went through a lot last night with Keith Carter trying to figure out a way, you know, to make this playoff, you know, run work and be able to coach the team. And at the end of the day, that's his decision, and I totally respect that. I understand that decision, and, you know, so I just totally wish the team the best of luck, wish that I was coaching, but understand that it was a very challenging position for him and the chancellor to be in.
So Lane Kiffin is heading to LSU, and you're probably going, why? He's 11-1 at Ole Miss. He's got a good team. It's money. It's not only the money he's going to be making, over probably $10 million a season.
To college coaches make more than NFL coaches?
Some of them do, absolutely.
That's crazy. This
it's all about money. LSU is also promising a lot more nil money, which is, of course, the term you might have remembered. Gavin McKenna, the hockey player for the Medicine Hat Tigers, went to Penn State this year. He got paid $1 million in nil money, name, image, likeness, as players in college sports now can get paid. Previously, they could not. There are huge rules and fines.
That's
and disciplinary
a
measures.
A recent change.
Reggie Bush, they took away his Heisman because his mom got a car from the university.
Oh, there was tons of that stuff going
now
on
that,
forever.
Now that looks like child's play compared to the money being thrown around now. All above board. And I agree with it. The way the money being made in the NCAA and the student athletes, they got education over it, sure. And that's priceless. But seriously, if that head coach is making $10 million and the athletic program is making tens of millions of dollars, the players should be getting some chunk of change, and now they are. Yeah. But college sports, it's now professional sports. And this is the biggest spotlight of where we have gone. And Here's Feinbaum on ESPN on Kiffin's decision to leave.
It's just so typical of Lane Kiffin to do something so utterly destructive, and that's what he did. It's utterly disgraceful, and there's no getting around it. And Lane Kiffin trying to blame others, trying to blame the adults in the room is just so comical.
And Lane Kiffin, wherever he goes, usually his bosses hate him by the time he leaves. And this is going to be no different in Ole Miss. And guess what? Probably won't be any different in 2026 and how many years he's in LSU before another better job comes up, if he wins something. Oh, by the way, Lane Kiffin's never really won.
Why is he in such demand? If he's not winning.
Well, he's winning, but he's not winning national championships. But maybe he can in LSU, where they have a lot more resources financially than Ole Miss does. They're 11-1. Tied for first in the SEC, just missed out on playing in the SEC championship game. But here's the thing. With college football right now, the transfer window opens up. So you might have Ole Miss players who go, I'm going to go to LSU with Coach Kiffin, and I'm not going to play in our playoff game. And Ole Miss is going to get thumped by whoever they play because of name, image, likeness, contracts and garbage like this. So coaches can just leave in the middle of the night to another university when there's still playoff games to be played. Like, this team has worked hard and they're in the playoffs, and now they don't know if they're going to have a quarterback or their star defensive players or any. Oh, they know they don't have a coach, and they know they're probably going to miss other assistants who are going to LSU too.
Yeah.
And this goes to, there's no loyalty.
No.
Commitment in college meant something. Now it means zero.
Just to sort of give a bit of perspective on the money. I mean, you can make a direct parallel to the, you know, direct connection to the attendance. In college football as a whole, they average 42,000, and this keeps going up every year, 42,000 fans a game. A game.
Across schools. At the big schools, they're going 80,000.
They'll eclipse 100,000 in a game.
Oh, Michigan, yeah. Michigan, yeah. The big house is over 100,000.
In Texas, that is insane. It's, I mean, what's the average in the CFL this past year? Wasn't it like less than 20 per game?
It was around 20,000.
20,000? Like, so you're more than doubling the average attendance.
College football is just another world that we as Canadians, I don't think we can truly comprehend.
No.
Because we don't, some of us, of course, have, like, there's great boosters with the Rams and the Huskies, but nothing like you see with some of the biggest CEOs in America forking over millions of dollars as a booster to their NCAA programs so they can get football players to win national championships. And that is what's happening with Lane Kiffin. And is he the biggest villain in college sports? In sports, period.
And how much
should he stay and play out and not sign that contract with LSU until the season's over? Absolutely. But LSU, they have the transfer portal window opening right away. They want him in place to recruit players to LSU.
Do you diminish his villain status just based on the fact that he went to the team and said, listen, I can't pass up this money. I know you're not going to give this money to me. I have also got an opportunity because they're giving me $25 million to get whatever players I can. Now, I've got to jump ship. They're telling me now I need to give them an answer by midnight tonight. They want it now because the portal's opening up. I'm willing to stay, but you've got to give me a pass on the playoffs. So he went to the organization.
He knew what the answer was going to be. He's going to one of the biggest rivals of Mississippi.
I know that. I'm just saying, do you diminish his villain role?
Well, you recruited these guys to Ole Miss.
You stood
in their living rooms and say, come to Ole Miss and let's win a national championship. And on the eve of the playoffs, you're going to LSU. You're a piece of garbage. You're a piece of garbage.
I want to know what the difference in money is before I determine where he falls on my list of villains.
He's making millions of dollars at Ole Miss. Yeah, he's making more millions at LSU. But Lane Kiffin's going to do the same thing to LSU as he did to Ole Miss, as Florida Atlantic found out when he jetted off.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be on the villain list, Jamie. I'm just like, do you give him a bit of a pass because they came to him. LSU came to him and said, hey, listen, do you, by the way, I'm getting this out now because I don't think this is going to go over well with Belton when we have him on just after five.
Oh, Belton's an Ole Miss alum. I can't wait to have Belton weigh in on this one.
Well, according to his social media today, he's in one.
1-877-332-8255. And I know there's a lot of college football fans out there. Is this chipping away at the allure of college football? 1-877-332-8255.
I got to tell you,
Terry, what are you thinking about this Lane Kiffin story?
Well, it's money talks. Like you guys are saying, with the amount of fans they get and stuff, like I've thought forever that the players should get a little skin in the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I was going to throw one. You guys were talking about Michigan earlier. Did you guys see at the end of the game after Ohio laid the boots to them that Opie or whatever their mascot went and put a big X through the Michigan M?
Yeah.
I just laughed when I seen that.
Well, this is, of course, college football is a different world that I don't think we can. Does this chip away at the, I don't know, not the allure of college football? Because is this hurting with the nil money and the big transfer portals and free agency? Do you think this is hurting what college football is, which is, hey, we got a roll of recruits and let's go win a national championship?
How often do we talk about college football?
Well, what would concern me is more one layer lower, like into high school sports. Are college teams going to be manipulating stuff down there? You know, I don't know. It's losing integrity a little bit, but.
Oh, well, it's going on in high school football. There's no in high school football in the States, Terry. There are recruits to go come play at our school, and they'll change housing and everything else to try to get a kid, a five-star recruit, to play at their high school. There's no doubt that's happening anyways with football in the United States. 1-877-332-8255.
Did you see that text? So that's not his salary. $91 million is just what they're giving him to work with. So he's going to cut off his a chunk of that to pay himself, and then he's going to use the rest for coaches and the program. So when college football hires you, they give you like the budget, right? Because when Belichick got hired, it was like, okay, here's your money to work with. Now go put together a team.
That's not going. That's not going well.
That one, that may have been a mistake.
1-877-332-8255. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Why would they allow all this to happen prior to the playoffs? Seems like a process problem. Nothing should be open until the championship is over, like any other sport.
Jamie, that's what I was asking this morning. I don't follow college football. I'm like, how is it possible that they're allowed to call a coach and poach him from a team a week before they're going to a playoff game? Like, that makes no sense to me. That the organization should get in front of that.
And it was the same time when he left Florida Atlantic to go to Ole Miss. It was December 7th. Florida Atlantic ended their season with a win, and he was off to Ole Miss to sign a big deal to get $16.2 million. As a contract for 4 years. So the college football program, it needs deep dive into trying to fix things.
I think you got
to
fix a little. There's still a lot of conversation about the transfer portals and the impact on NCAA hockey, right? And guys can just choose to, you know, they don't like their ice time. I'm not on the number one power play. I'm on the second. I'm leaving.
I'm going to go to a different. Yep, that's what's happening now in college sports. 1-877-332-8255. A little later on, we're going to talk about Lane Kiffin being a villain, but I'm sure you can top him as a villain. Who are the top villains in sports history? 1-877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.